has blessed us as a nation, as a family, as a church, as a people, individually. So what are we supposed to do? Render to him thankfulness for his benefits. Turn about, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. As I'm driving up and down the roads, I usually have a CD and the cassette player on the vehicle listening to the Bible as it's being read. Just anywhere it reads is okay. But sometimes, and most of the time, as I'm hearing it or as I'm reading the Word of God, he gives me messages. And sometimes those messages ring out much louder than the previous one. And this particular time, I just got a message that God said this for Sunday morning. We just aren't thankful enough. And there's consequences to be paid when you're not thankful enough. We're going to read the situation of a great man of God. He could have been greater, and I think that could be said about most of us, even though we may be halfway what we ought to be or a third way what we ought to be, we could be better. We could do more. And it all depends on when God blesses us and when he adds blessings, what we do with those blessings. And we're going to read a beautiful story from 2 Chronicles chapter 32 about Hezekiah. He was 25 years old when God put him on the throne of Israel, actually of Judah, southern two provinces. And God used him mightily, could have used him more, would have used him more had he been usable. And we're going to see just a little bit this morning about the appreciation that he had for the things of God and where he was lacking. Let's read the text together, and that will be found in 2 Chronicles 32:25. But Hezekiah rendered not, again, according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. We're going to look now at three different aspects of this. It's a long message, and tonight we'll look at the wrath of God upon it, the children of Israel, because of that. You mean God would bring wrath on him and on his people? You might say just because he wouldn't render and be thankful enough to God for his benefits? Absolutely. It's a serious thing. When God blesses and we take it so lightly or we're not fully in appreciation to him for all he has done. Let's look at some truths here about God's word. First of all, we're going to look at the benefits that he gives us for abiding. Just the benefits on a daily basis he gives to us for abounding in him and abiding in him and the many things. Now, we don't have time to delve into Hezekiah's life, because those were so many blessings God had blessed him with. First of all, just to be in the position that God put him in, how trustworthy was it of God to put him in the position of being king over his people? Look at your own life. As we're looking at Hezekiah's life this morning, it's easy to do because we have the Word of God. But I want him, and he will, make application to you, and as he makes application to me. Look at the position you're in. You say, well, I'm in a lowly position. No, you're exactly where you need to be. You're a father or a mother, or you're a child, you're a leader in a church, or whatever God has, you may be a leader in the business, whatever it is. God has purposed and planned your life for you, and he has exalted you to the position you're in. Now, none of us are where we ought to be. And that's probably because he can't trust us more. But look at the position that Hezekiah was in. He prospered him. The Bible says he prospered him in all his works. That's enough to praise God for right there. Just to know that when God gives you a particular responsibility and he places you, as he has all of us, in certain positions, that he is responsible, if we trust him, and as we abound in his grace, and as we abide in his love, and as we use the things he gives us for giving him glory and praise, then he prospers that. We don't prosper ourselves. That's a problem. He got lifted up in pride. Things were going so well for him. Things were going really exceedingly good. God had prospered him. He had increased him. And every which way he went, God was blessing that. Pretty soon, pride entered in, and he was filled with pride. And God said, "You haven't rendered to me of my benefits." We want to look at those words this morning. So not only the position God put him in, but the prosperity that he gave him in all his works, but I want to look at his personal wealth. That alone was enough to yell to praise God for. Let's read this together in the 27th verse through the 29th verse. "And Hezekiah had exceeded much riches and honor." Who do you think gave that to him? He might have been an intelligent man, but who gave him the intelligence? Who put him in the position he did? Look at your own life. You say, "Well, I'm intelligent. God gave it to you. I've been prosperous. God gave it to you. I'm in a certain position. God gave it to you." And as he gives us all these things, we're to honor unto him and we're to praise him and give him all the honor and glory for it, and never let pride enter into the situation. God hates pride. The opposite of pride is humility and humbleness. And if you're lifted up in pride, you won't be humble. You cannot have humility. The two are contrasting views. And God hates pride. So now we know what God said about him. He was lifted up in pride. But let's continue looking at prosperity that God gave him. In the middle of verse 27, "And he made himself treasures for silver." We see he's on the downhill path right now. Silver in the Bible means redemption. God redeemed him. And he had all this silver that God gave him, but now the text says it's for himself. Doesn't seem like he's using that which God has given him for God's kingdom and for the people of God. Be careful, that's exactly how pride creeps in. God prospers, God plans, God orchestrates, puts us in a certain position, prospers all that we do, and then he gives us accumulations. We're to use it for his glory, but that's not what he's doing. He accumulated for himself. Oh, not only silver, but for gold. Gold represents purity. It represents the honor that God gives us as gold traveling in the far. "And for precious stones," it continues, "and for spices, and for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels." Would you agree with God that God has really prospered this young man? 25 when he began to reign, and now he's much older. And God has let him accumulate all these precious jewels, precious things. However, they got a little bit too precious to him, and he wasn't yielding God the glory that he should have been given to him. "Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and cots for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much." Now, he did use some of these things for the glory of God, and it would have been okay that God does increase and God does prosper and God does give us personal wealth if we trust him, if we will give him his portion and if we will give him credit for giving it to us. That's what God desires. And Hezekiah was doing right well. The scripture continues, not only did he give him all these personal things, but he was using part of it for the glory of God. He continues, "The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works." God's been really good to this man, prospered him, personal possessions, position, and he's done everything that he needs to do for this young man as he has grown older and older in service of his country and of his God. And if he could just somehow manage not to be lifted up in pride, he would have been doing really well. Listen carefully. Pride is something that creeps in man's heart. You don't even know it's there. And that's why David says, try me, O God. Search me. If there is anything within me that's wrong, reveal it to me so I can confess it, and you will forgive it. Never let pride enter into your heart. God says it's a big deal. Well, finally, God started speaking to him and said, Hezekiah, I've numbered your days. Set your house in order. I've planned the day you're going to depart from this world. Got it all figured out. Just want to let you know, because you've done a lot of good things, and you're going to die. Get your house in order. Well, let's look at Hezekiah's prayer. As he heard that, he humbled himself, and he besought God and started telling God how God had blessed him. God already knew that. And he was starting to be, for a period of time, thankful to God for all the things. And he said, God, extend my life. Extend my life. And God did. And God said, I'll add to your years. Isn't that an amazing thing? God didn't do that for very many people. But he did to Hezekiah. Now, you would think if God's going to do such a great thing as extend one's life on the throne, prospering him, using him for his glory, you'd think surely Hezekiah's learned his lesson now. He is surely going to render to God for that benefit. You'd think that, wouldn't you? Well, now, he said, how will I know that you're going to do this thing? God says, well, I'll give you a sign. Look at that sundial out there. And that's the way they told time, you know, as the sun shined upon a particular instrument, the shadow would get longer and it would have a gauge and they could tell the time. And God says, just watch it. And we realize that God revolves the earth around the sun. If you watch shadows, they get longer or they get shorter, depending on where the object is. But nonetheless, God says, I'm going to reverse this thing. And you can imagine what God had to do. Not a problem, because he created the world. He put it in rotation anyway. God stopped the world from moving and turned it backwards. Now, this did not only affect Hezekiah. Everybody in the whole world observed that was looking. God made the time reverse just so he could show Hezekiah, I'm on the throne and I'm in charge of you and the universe. And I do respect humility and I do respect humbleness. And when you replied to me that I would serve you and I would live my life for you, then I heard that prayer. I proved to you that I would do what I said I would do. He did restore his health. It wasn't very long until other nations started looking and observing. Who was it that made time go backwards? Well, it was God, but the other nations weren't going to observe that whatsoever. They had heard that it was Hezekiah involved some way. So the other nations started inquiring. I want to go meet this man. This man somehow, some way, caused time to reverse. Never had happened before. One time God made the sun stand still for Joshua so they could win the battle. That was a great thing. But this time God put it in reverse and backed it up. That's an amazing thing. And the other nations, let's read together. Let's go back and read chapter 32, verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to his death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Let's read verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. God had given all these benefits to Hezekiah. He had prospered him. And all the benefits that God showed him, and may I remind you, all the benefits that God has given us. They're so numerous you can't even count them. Just start imagining in your mind all the benefits God has given every one of us. Most of us have clothes. We don't go to too cold in the winter. We don't get too hot in the summer. We have, most of us, air conditioned somehow. Just start adding up the blessings, how God has blessed us and honored us so we could worship Him and adore Him and give Him praise and never get lifted up in pride. And if there's any good thing about any of us, it's because of God, not because of anything we've said or done or can do. And Hezekiah, now, he had come to grips with it. Other countries had known that time went backwards, and some of these other countries worshiped the gods of the sun. They knew better than anyone that God had done, that somebody had done a miraculous thing, and it all came to that man that's king of Judah. Let's go inquire, and let's go see what's going on with that king. He must be really intelligent. Why, no man has ever been able to accomplish that. So they came to him and started inquiring. Now, notice carefully what the text says. God left him to try him. The principle is this. God does it to every one of us. Think back in your life, as God has shown me back in mine, the many times he has come to me. So now we've seen the benefits of abounding and abiding in his love. Let's look at what God expects us to be ambassadors for him. The things God wants us to do. And let's talk about this business, God's business of being ambassadors for him. God had done such a wonderful thing, and now the enemy, the heathen, the agnostics and infidels and God-haters and sun worshipers had come to Hezekiah, God's man in God's position, doing God's business, being blessed by God, and he was an ambassador for God. He could have said, fellas, I'll tell you right now, it wasn't anything I've done. It was just my God. He is so wonderful. Y'all to know him. I'd like to introduce you to him. That's not what he said. They came to him, and we won't read the text, but he started opening up his treasure house. Look at all the gold. Look at all the silver. And slowly, they said, boy, this is a blessed man. He must be super intelligent. He must be really something to have all this wealth. Now, remember, God left him and tried him. Let's explore those a little bit. As ambassadors to God, he expects us to give him glory. There will be a time in your life, and if there all has already been, there will be another time that God tests you. Let's look at those two words. God left him to test him. Now, when the Bible says he left him, the first word is, go back to the principle of the first time God uses a word in the Bible, and that opens up the whole territory of what the meaning is. What does it mean when God left him? Was he lost all of a sudden? No. The first time God uses that is in Genesis 2:24, when he explains to Adam and to Eve that I am the creator God, I create man, I create woman, I have set a principle here. A man shall leave his father and mother. That's a word here, the same Hebrew word. God left him. It's the same Hebrew word that God uses in Genesis 2:24 for leave. The same principle applies. Is it not God has given you back to yourself? Except go back to when you're a young man now and you first marry. You've got parents still. You haven't divorced them. You have disowned them. It's just that God has given you another opportunity. Now he has given you a bride. And it means that that bride is the most important thing in your life. You still have a father and mother. You say, Reverend Sam, but you have to leave out of their presence for a while. At least you should, because now a new life is starting. And that's the same word he uses, that God now has departed for him just a little. He's coming back. He's just not going to be involved in his decisions for a while. And listen, I didn't know we were going this way, but it's mighty important when you get married for parents to kind of stay out of the new wed's business. Leads to a lot of divorces if you don't, because a lot of parents want to make all the decisions for their son after he has left home. And the bride's not going to accept that at all. And the other way around, when a young couple gets married, her parents doesn't need to be making any decisions either. Why? Because the scripture says there is leaving and cleaving. So God now has left him. He's not making his decisions for him. He's on his own. Why? Because God is going to try him to see what's in his heart. Let's look at that word try for a minute. The first time God uses that word is mighty important too. It'll help us understand what he means by this. The first time he uses that is to Abraham when God says, I'm going to tempt you, same Hebrew word as try. I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac. Now I want you to take him up on the mountain and offer him a sacrifice. And God did that to see what was in his heart, whether or not he would put God first, put God above his son, put God above anything else. And then God tries every one of us in different ways. Sometimes he just presents a situation, unusual situation. Sometimes he will permit and allow the enemy to come against you to see what you're going to do. It's not that he doesn't love you. He loves you a lot. But he's going to try you to see what's in your heart. So now these ambassadors, and remember, we're ambassadors for him. Our business is to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, to represent him in this world, to tell every person that comes around us that if I am in a certain position, I didn't achieve it on my own. If I have personal possessions, I didn't achieve them on my own. It was my God that has given this to me. You're an ambassador, and so am I, for the cause of Christ. And so God's looking upon the scene, and he is watching Hezekiah as he's going in there strutting. Yeah, this is the house I built, and this is the gold in the house, and this is all my stuff. Yeah, tell me about that time when you made the world go backwards. Now, I don't know what he said about that, but ever what it was, God didn't like it one little bit. Because the scripture says that God tried him and he wasn't acceptable. The scripture says he rendered not to God according to the benefit, not benefits, the benefit. The benefit of extending his life, of making the time go backwards, he didn't give God the credit for it. And God says, you're in trouble. You've been lifted up in pride. And I'm going to deal with that. Let's see how he deals with it. Now, we have to have that humility and we have to have that love. And God expects us to do it. In verse 32 of the same chapter, he says, now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And then the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. God does keep a record of every gift he gave him, of every position he put him in, of every trial that God... Who allowed these trials to come? God. Who permits the trials to come in my life and yours? God. God orders the steps of a good man. And if he's in us, he's good. And so we're ambassadors daily for his cause, for his purpose, for his kingdom's sake. And God permits and allows people to turn against us. Could he stop it? Of course he could. God is trying America. And as you know as well as I do, we're not making the grades for them. Well, God's on the throne. It seems as though God may have just kindly sidestepped and say, well, you don't want me. You don't want me in school. You don't want to acknowledge me. You like to kindly do without me. Go ahead. And we're not doing so good, are we? Well, not only that, but there's going to be a time of judgment for this. Let's look at the book of Judges. Judges chapter 9 and verse 56. Judges 9, 56. We looked at the first time that God used that word rendering. Look 56. This is the last time in the Old Testament he used that word. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did to his father in slaying his 70 brethren, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel. God does recompense. God says, I'll render to you according to the way you render to me. And the first time he used that word, remember, we already studied that. God rendered. He understood that when God gives something, we're supposed to give him credit for it. We're supposed to say, God did it. I didn't do it. And this particular man, the last time he used that word rendering, he's done an awful crime. He's went out and taken life. Where was God at? Well, God was on his throne, keeping the record, just like we read in this chapter. God keeps the record of the good and the bad. And at the appropriate time, God will render himself. And he renders to us according to the way we render to him. He gives benefits, and he gives blessedness. He prospers. He permits. He provides. He orchestrates. And when God does all these things for us, we give him glory. That's what he expects. Render to God the credit, the service, and to go back in every one of our life and give him the praise and honor for it, because it's God. If anything's done, it's worth anything, it'll be God that does it, not we ourselves. So now we've seen the scripture where God says, you render to me and I'll render unto you. There will be a time of testing, every one of us. You've already had some. If you're a child of God, there will be more. Why? Because God wants to know what's in your heart. Now, it's not that he doesn't already know, but that which was within you will come out. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The deeds of the heart, and I'll tell you what the scripture says about the heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Who shall know it? You say, well, I'm saved. Yes, you are, but you still have an Adamic nature. Adam's nature still resides in you. Now, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. But still, if you get slapped on the face, you're liable to slap back before you even think. That's your old Adamic nature coming out. And when people render bad things to you, we're liable to render things back. But God says, don't do that. The battle is not yours, it's mine. And then when people render good things to you, sometimes we're quick to take the credit for it. Oh, yeah, I deserve that. That happened to me because I'm so good, because I've done so much. No, no, no. It happened to you and it happens to me because God's trying us. And when the blessings come, he gets the glory. And when the tribulation comes, and it will, and when the hurt comes, and it will, then we give him glory because we know he's going to try us to see what's within us. And whether or not we melt or whether or not we say, well, it's just another test. It's just another trial. And God's got me this far. He won't leave me. He'll never forsake me. Hezekiah made a lot of mistakes, but yet God's keeping a record. Let's read the last verse of this scripture and we'll be closing. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers. God added the number of years to his life he said he would. And all God expected was praise and honor to the heathen and to the nation. God added my life. The riches I've got, the personal possessions I've got, wasn't anything to do with my doing. I render the glory to God. He did not, he would not, he was lifted up in pride. Now the end of time came for him. Wouldn't it have been good if we could have read a record that God would have said about him, boy, this man did everything right? Well, he was a good man, and he's in heaven. But you see, when he made some mistakes, he suffered for it. And yet today, Israel is suffering for it. God's wrath came upon the children of Israel and the children of Judah because of his sin, because of him not rendering God's benefit. But you know the good thing about it, if there is a good thing about it, since he humbled himself, finally, God says, I won't let it happen in your day. And he might have been happy about that too. Well, good. I'll be able to get out here and sleep with my fathers and my children. My children's children will have to suffer for it, but not me. What kind of thinking is that? I'd rather have my children have blessings than me. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. God knows my heart, and I confess to you, and I confess to him, and he knows my heart. I'd rather God bless my children and grandchildren than me. That's how much I love them. Now, if I love them that much, how dare I do anything that God would bring wrath upon them because of something I done or didn't do or did wrongly? Yet that's exactly what God's going to happen when Hezekiah dies. God's wrath is going to be upon him, his children, mostly his children as children's children. And Hezekiah seemed quite happy about that if you read all the account. Well, at least it didn't happen in my day. What kind of thinking is that? When you get lifted up in pride, you just don't think right. You aren't right. You can't be right. The only repentance that we have to do is, Lord, forgive me for that pride that I had. I humble myself. Now, when you humble yourself, God is pleased. But the deed's already done. So Hezekiah slept with his fathers. And they buried him in the chiefest of his sepulchers of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did honor him at his death. And Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. And tonight we'll look at that reign. His son reigned and didn't do so good. And the reason he didn't do so good is because God's wrath is upon him because of his father. I pray to God that none of us here this morning would leave here without letting God check her heart, check her temperature. If you get sick, about the first thing the doctor does is look in your eyes. Somehow they're trained to see the eyes reveal one's health. And then about the second thing I suppose they would do is take your temperature. That's a real good indication of what's going on somewhere wrong. Well, the condition of the heart, God is measuring this morning, and he knows. And the reason it's like it is because the trials he's given us, we've either passed them or we failed them. And if we failed them without repentance, then we're much the worse for it. But every time God gives you a trial and you pass it, you get closer to him. There's nothing bad about a trial. I've had my share. You've probably had yours. I cannot say for an instant, and most of you know me, I've had a lot of bad things, a lot of trials. And within myself, I wish they hadn't happened. But they did happen. And the only thing I can say is, did God get glory from me? Did I bring him honor and glory during a trial? And if I did, I'm better for it, and I'll get rewards for it. But if I wrote reproach on him, and if during the trials that I had, I did not represent him properly, then his wrath will be upon my children, upon the next generation. That's a heavy thing. But you could pass a test with God's help. Would you stand, your heads are bowed? God sees your heart. Unfortunately, we don't know her heart. He's perfectly willing and wants to reveal your heart. That's why he sends trials. He knows what's in your heart and what you're going to do. But now Hezekiah knew himself what was in his heart. He wouldn't have thought that a few years before. No, all these things God's doing for me, he's a great God. But then when the trial came and when the ambassadors came from a foreign country, he wasn't a good ambassador for the Lord. And the thing to do is get right with God before the trial comes. You'll fare a lot better. Your head's bowed. Piano organist, if you'll come, play anything God puts on your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for the message you gave from your word. Not my message at all. It wouldn't have been worth anything if it were. It's what you showed me. It's what you wanted me to preach this morning. And I pray, Father, that there will be a time of testing right now for every one of us. This afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, the trials will come. And if they don't come today, they'll come this week or next month. They will come. We know that. And you're doing right and doing it now. I thank you for it. I want to know what's in my heart. And if trials are the only way that I can know, then you've got that all figured out. But help me right now. Every one of us to say, Lord, search our hearts. Show us individually how I would fare and how I will fare when the test comes. And Lord, help us not to be lifted up in pride. Help us, Father, never to exalt ourselves, but to stay on our face before you in humility. Help us, Father, to be what you want us to be and act how you want us to act, giving you praise and honor for the good things and giving you honor and glory for the trials. You're the one that helps us, Father, because it's you that's got our heart in the condition right now it's in. None of us be anything if that meant for the trials and how we persevered. And even though you may have left us, not left us the way we would think, but kindly step aside and let us make their own decision. Say, I can trust him to make that decision because he's got a heart for me. I just believe he's going to make it right to bring me glory. And how ashamed you must be when we don't pass that test. Hezekiah failed, but after it was all over, he did humble himself. But the price was paid. The children and the grandchildren suffered because of his mistakes. Let it not be that way with us, Father, because help our hearts to be pure. It's a time of heart searching, and only you can search your heart. And I pray that you will. God, we have so many needs. Our church has needs. Lord, trials come and people fail them over and over and over. But help us, Father, I pray. It's not about us, it's about your kingdom. Sometimes our little feelings get in the way. They didn't treat me right. They didn't do right. That was just another trial to see how we would react. The big business is giving you honor and glory for it and getting our personal feelings out of the way. Lord, you suffered the shame and the reproach and the cross of Calvary for our sins. Help us, Father, to be ambassadors for you, to lift up your name in every situation. Because in the lovely name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Whatever your needs are this morning, would you come? Search me, O God. He wants to. He already knows. He wants you to ask. Really wants to show you your heart. And if you know ahead of time, you will react a lot better next time a trial comes. Thank you. You may be seated for